Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that we can gather before you, and you are the reason why we gather. We pray that all our ears will be listened to you, and all our hearts will be drawn to you. We pray that you touch our hearts and speak to us. We commit this time into your hand. Lord, speak to us. We pray in our Lord's name. Amen.
Amen.
I would like to ask you one question. Do you have a goal in your life? Do you have a goal in your life? I think goal is very important. It will give you direction. It will give you a purpose. You know, throughout life, there are many obstacles, isn't it? I think the loser will always focus on the obstacles, and they will give up. But the one who success, the winners, they focus on their goal, and they'll overcome all the obstacles. Last time, I shared the reason God created us is to love Him. This is His idea. This is His goal in the creation. He created us to love Him. But what is your goal? Do you want to love Him? Or do you have any other goals in your life? Can we have a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9. 5:9. 2 Corinthians. Now, this is Paul says in here. Now it is, chapter 5, verse 9. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. We make it our goal to please Him. Would that be your goal? Is this your goal? Is it your goal to please Him in everything? Later on, we are going to have breaking of bread. I wonder what happens in your mind during the breaking of bread. We sing the songs. We pray when you hear the prayer. Is your mind dwelling on how great our God is? Would you think of the lyrics we are singing? Is your mind there? If not, I will ask, if your heart is there, do you really want to praise Him? If your heart is there, if your mind is here, so often there may be some other thing that affects us. There's a fear in our hearts. We think, my prayer is not good enough. Actually, talking about breaking of bread, I always have a feeling that just like the musicians gathering for symphony orchestra, we are doing a performance before the King of Kings. So as we gathered, someone offered their prayer, someone offered their praise, songs we sing together. It would be a beautiful piece of music together. And there will be one conductor, that is the Holy Spirit. He'll touch your heart and you pray. And then He'll touch another heart and we all praise God together. And there will be thousands, millions of angels attending as well. But all our hearts, every musician, we pray, our prayer may be just like, someone playing the triangle, ding, like that. Your prayer is just so weak, maybe. But throughout the whole piece of music, we need that beautiful ding sounds like that. So don't look down upon your prayer. It's not just after you pray that your mind can go wandering. No. Every musician during the whole performance, they're focusing. All their hearts are focusing to perform for their king. So during the breaking of bread, if our hearts are like that, just to please him, we are performing. We are just praising him. Every focus, every eyes is to sing to the Lord, praising him. That would be beautiful to our Lord. I feel excited when I come to the breaking of bread, because we are praising him. But talking about pleasing him, there's something pulling us back. What is that? The fear. My prayer is not good enough, therefore I dare not to pray. My English is no good, therefore I dare not to pray. That is hidden in ourselves. So everyone, even though there are 30 or 40 here, only a few dare to pray. And that is not that beautiful. Can we look at Galatians chapter 1 as well? In Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Galatians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul is talking about, here it says, am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. In here, Paul says, am I trying to win the approval of men or of God? You dare not to pray? Why? Is it because you want to win the approval of men? Oh, my prayer is not good enough, therefore I dare not pray. In other words, you want men's approval. Or in further down there, or am I trying to please men? Is your prayer trying to please God or please men? Ask yourself. So you can see there's something here in our hearts. Please God or please men. Even Paul can feel the struggling inside. Am I trying to please God? He will ask himself, no, my goal is to please God, not to please men. So I'm talking about what's inside our heart. Later on, you may even try to pray. But you may try to win the approval of men. Oh, I can make a beautiful prayer. I can pray as good as certain brother. Therefore, you pray. No, I'm not asking you to pray. I'm asking you to please God with your prayer, to please God. What's inside your heart? What is the motivation within? Why are you doing that? There's a very good example in the Old Testament, that is King Saul. He worries so much about people, how people look at him. Can we look at 1 Samuel? Chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 29. Chapter 15, verse 29 and 30. In verse 30, Saul replied, I have sinned, but please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord your God. We haven't read the verses before that, but he has done something wrong. And the prophet Samuel pointed out to him. And what is Saul's reaction? He said, oh yeah, I have sinned, but please honor me. All he cares for is how people look at him. Honor me before the people. He can apologize. He can confess, oh, I have sinned. But he didn't really care about he has offended the Lord. He didn't really care about God himself. He cared about how people look at him. Honor me before people, honor me. I want to have faces. Just like nowadays, you know, the presidents always worry about the poll. If he has a policy, the leaders, oh, the poll, are people approval of him? The leaders always worry about how people like him or not. Are we like that? Do we always worry about how people look at you? Honor me. That's what Saul says. If we study the life of Saul, you can always see that. He's so worried about, oh, when the women sang, oh, yeah, Saul killed thousands of enemies, but David, he killed tens of thousands. Then he grew so jealous because someone is getting better and better, maybe better than him. Then he worries. You know, he got so worried and all the fears comes upon him to a point he almost gone crazy. Almost come to a point nervous breakdown. And he has done commit more and more sin. But looking back at David, when you look at his life, in the beginning he was so simple. When Goliath came, everybody afraid of Goliath. He just concerned about how can this man insulting God's army? He just think of God's glory. He never think about himself. And remember, and in another occasion, when the ark was moving back, they tried to move the ark to a certain city. David danced before the people. Wow, being a king, dancing before the people, not very dignified. But he didn't care. He just danced before the Lord. He just feel that it's before the Lord. He can do anything. He didn't care about how people look at him. Comparing to us today, oh, I dare not pray. I'm so weak. What would they think of me? My prayer is so weak. Not spiritual. I'm not spiritual. We care so much about how people look at us. But look at David. He can dance. I think the brothers and sisters in Africa, when they gather singing the Lord, they will jump as well. They will dance. We Chinese sit very still. But when we are really before the Lord, we really just open ourselves. We worry so much about how people look at us. That is, we, in our hearts, we always try to please men. And that will lead us to something even greater, even worse, that will destroy our life. I'm going to talk about something. If we keep focusing on pleasing men, that will develop into something else, like, for example, hypocrisy, and then later on, jealousy, ambition, anger, murder, envy, something like that. So let me first talk about hypocrisy. If we worry so much about how people look at us, we'll be a hypocrite, putting up a mask. We feel that we are worth, we are inside, we are not so sure, we are insecure, we don't think we are good enough. So we always try to pretend we worth more, because we don't know much about ourselves. So in here, I need to do a demonstration. I have asked someone, Caleb, to come and help me. Yes. Now, yes, you just stand here?
Yeah.
Okay. Now this is my, I have kidnapped him. This is my slave right now. Yeah. Relax, okay, yeah. Relax. I'm not going to do anything. So I'm going to sell you in the slave market.
Okay,
you agree with that? Okay, so how much do you think I can start with, the price?
$500?
I give you some time to think about, how much do you worth? Give me a figure.
$500. 1,000
per kilogram? Per dozen? Each? Per ton? You know, scrap metal always sell in terms of ton, okay? The precious metal sells in ounces, like gold, something like that. So how much do you worth?
How heavy are you?
I'm 35.
Okay, I give you 5,000, okay?
Oh, okay, that's a lot. Yeah.
That's a lot? Okay. So he thinks he worth 5,000. So anyone here who is willing to... Now, if they pay, someone is willing to pay 5,000, you will be their slave.
Yeah.
If no one offer that much, you will be my slave.
Okay,
he agrees. Anyone 5,000? Oh, one hand. Anyone more than 5,000? Come on. He won't come here next week. 6,000. Oh, okay, 6,000. But I'm not happy with 6,000. So you can pick on someone you think he works more than you. He or she, of course. Just pick anyone, and I'll ask him to take your place, and I'll let you go. you don't have to come.
Thank you, Peter.
Now, before you go, can I ask you?
Yeah.
Why do you think he works more than you?
Because he's wiser.
Oh.
I thought I'm heavier, so.
Okay, thank you. You may go. Okay. So in our hearts, we don't know our value. We think we are worthless inside, so we try to pretend to be good or to be better than who we are. But what is our true value? When Caleb looks at each you, he thinks he's wiser. So in his heart, wiser worths more. Stronger worths more. So right now, he thinks he doesn't work that much. Ichu is here, Ichu, if I ask you to pick another one, who would you pick? It's hard. Don't pick my family. I'm going to pick to myself alone. Okay. Now you don't have to answer me. I want to point out the thing is, who will pay you the highest price? He is happy with, say, 5,000. He thinks if I'm stronger, I'm smarter, I'm worth more. 1 million, 2 million, is that good enough? But still, you are a slave. But I'll tell you, Jesus Christ, he is paying the highest price for you. He gives his life for you on the cross. He thinks you worth more than 5,000, 2 million, 20 billion. You don't even have to get a degree. Just as you are, now, just as you are, you don't have to be smarter, you don't have to be stronger, you don't have to be wiser. He is willing to die for you on the cross. You worth so much to him. You think someone is better than you? Then you may try to be like him. If I'm stronger, then I'm worth more if I'm stronger. If I'm worth more if I'm smarter. But you don't have to be better, because Jesus Christ just accepts you as you are. Think about this. He gives you the highest. value. He gave you the high speed. No one can beat that offer. In other words, our security, our value, find is in Him. You don't have to be smarter in order to be more precious. You can't be more precious in His eyes. You are already precious in His eyes. He has taken your place to let you go. If I say to Caleb, you are free now because Jesus Christ has taken your place. You are free. You are not my slave. What would you like to say to Him? Jesus Christ, what would you like to say to Him? Okay. You can say that during our breaking of bread, isn't it? Lord Jesus, thank you for saving my life. It's that just that simple. If you don't say anything, what would He feel? If we want to please Him, just a simple thank you would be precious in his ears, isn't it? So when we feel that we are not good enough, we'll be hypocrite. We'll try to be stronger. We'll try to be smarter. I always like watching some documentary about animals. There's one kind of animals I really think is really unique. I really like it. It's octopus. I've seen octopus, they can mimic into something else. I've seen yesterday, there's a kind of octopus called mimic octopus. It has 8 arms, right? There's a hole there. It can put 6 arms in the hole and only stick out 2 arms and pretend to be a sea snake. Wow, that's so smart. And sometimes they can stretch out their 8 arms and swim like a lionfish. And some instance, the danger comes, they suddenly freeze and pretend itself to become a piece of coral. They can not only change their color, they can change their texture as well. They are so smart. And sometimes we act like octopus in our lives. Okay, today I'm among Christians. Christians mode. Boop. Oh, I can talk spiritual things. When I go back to the uni or to the school, oh, worldly mode. A sinner's mode. Push, and then I can talk things like the sinners. If I don't pretend to be like them, they'll attack me. So we Christians sometimes act like an octopus, isn't it? Sometimes. If you dare not to be true to who you are. In other words, you don't have to be better in order to earn God's love. Just be yourself. You don't have to pray as good as certain brother or sister, then you can pray. No, be yourself. Just offer the prayer in your heart to please God. It's that simple. Don't be a hypocrite. Just be yourself. If you want to please God, just be yourself. You don't have to be better in prayer in order to praise Him. You don't have to be better in singing in order to sing to Him. Just be yourself. When you are not happy with who you are, you want to be greater, then there will be an ambition in your heart. You always want to get a higher position, higher and higher. You want to be a leader, maybe. Now, it's nothing wrong to be a leader, but this heart, the ambition's heart, not happy with yourself. There's a very interesting story, short story in Judges. Can we look at it in the book of Judges, chapter 9? Chapter 9, Judges,
Let me see. In verse 8. Someone is telling a story, okay? In the book of Judges, chapter 9, verse 8. One day, the trees went out to anoint a king for themselves. They said to the olive tree, "Be our king." But the olive tree answered, "Should I give up my oil by which both gods and men are honored to hold sway over the trees?" So the olive tree is not willing to be king. He just wants, "Oh, I just want to produce oil. That's my part." Next, the tree said to the fig tree, "Come to be our king." But the fig tree replied, "Should I give up my fruit, so good and sweet, to hold sway over the trees?" In other words, the fig tree is not interested to be king. He knows his part. My part is give out to bear fruit. My part is to bear fruit. The olive tree, my part is to give oil. Then the tree said to the vine in verse 12, "Come and be our king." But the vine answered, "Should I give up my wine, which cheers both gods and men, to hold sway over the trees?" The vine is not interested as well. He knows his part is to produce wine. So every tree here, they know their part. They are happy to be themselves. They don't have ambition to be king. But who, eventually, finally, in verse 14, finally all the trees said to the thornbush, "Come and be our king." And this thornbush, good at nothing, just picking on people maybe, "If you really want to anoint me king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, let fire come out from the thorn bush and consume the cedars of Lebanon." So this thorn bush is willing to be king. Okay. So my point is, if you really know your part, if you are vine, give wine. If you are olive tree, give oil. If you are fig tree, give fruit. No ambition to them to be king. So if you can come before the Lord, you want to please him. If you are vine, give what you have. If you are fig tree, give what you have. Be yourself. If you can give this sort of prayer or praise, give it generously. This is your part. Give to the Lord to please him. Not to please men, but to the Lord. Remember Saul? I talked about him. He grew jealous because David is getting more and more popular. So jealousy came into his life. In his mind, he hated David so much. One day it's more than one time, he used javelin to throw the javelin on David. He tried to kill him. So when you keep focusing on winning popularity, trying to be king, trying to win the hearts of men, if you keep thinking like that, that will destroy your life. It will be a tragedy in your life. Always thinking about popularity, always thinking about how people look at you, you get depressed. One day when you find you're not that good, someone is taking your place. "Oh, I'm the song leader." One day someone is taking your place. "What happened to me?" You will always try to compare, even with brothers and sisters. "Oh, today I'm song leader. Maybe next time, oh, another song leader. He seems to be better than you." Then in your heart, you're not that happy. Little bit of jealousy may be growing in you. You have to deal with this, because then you realize you're trying to please men. Not out of a pure heart to please God himself. Remember the Pharisees in Jesus' time? They are jealous with Jesus' power. Jesus can cast out demons. And they slandering about Jesus.
He cast demon is by the power of the devil king, the Beelzebub, is it? So speak evilly against someone, sometimes behind their back. Have you ever spoken evil behind people back? Is it because of your jealousy? Know your heart. So when we try to please God, it will be so simple. Everything will be so simple. But if you worry so much about yourself, how people like you, many things will come. Jealousy, anger. All this will destroy your life. You won't have a very happy life. You won't find peace. You will be forever struggling in your heart. There will be no peace for someone who worries so much about himself. What can we do about this? Can we try to be, please God, can we try to pray with a simple heart? Our heart is so deceitful. And there's only one solution for our deceitful heart. Can we look at Psalm 139, talking about our hearts? I think many brothers and sisters will know that verse. Psalm 139, the last two verses. Can we read it together? Sorry, we have different versions, so that would be difficult. I'll read my NIV version. Verse 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. So the one who can know our hearts, even though you may do a lot of service, people would recognize you, approve you, say you are good. But in your heart, you are seeking your own glory, maybe. So only God can know your heart. In here, David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. When you really try to please God, you can ask Him, do I praise you? Do I pray to you out of a simple heart? Am I seeking glory for myself? Search me, O God, and know my heart. I don't know my heart that well. I may even fool myself. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. We need God to test us. You know, during the camp we have, Neil mentioned a very good phrase I like. He said, it's not trying, but training. Not trying, but training. Oh, it's difficult, it's hard. Don't worry. Many brothers and sisters know that I'm a driving instructor. So when I have my student next to me, I tell him step by step. He is not trying to drive by himself. He is listening to the instructor next to him. Even though his eye is not staring at me when he drives, he looks at the front. I'll tell him, make a turn. He make a boom like that. Okay. We can do better than that. Okay. Now try to slow down a bit. Getting close. Slow down, signal check. And turn like that. I draw on the picture showing him how to do it. So step by step, in the first few hours or first 20 minutes, it's so really scary. But I have to try to calm myself. Okay. It's okay. Don't worry. We can do it. We can do better. You know, a lot of encouragement helps. So, yes, you're doing fine. Okay, so a lot of encouragement. So gradually, first turn, they make mistakes. I don't mind they make mistakes. They are free to make mistakes. They pay me to make mistakes. But I try to correct them. So after one turn, two turn, a whole hour doing like that,
So after maybe 10 hours, we can drive to Harbour Bridge and come back. So in the first lesson, it's impossible. Harbour Bridge, too scary. It is.
Actually, when I drive with my student going through Harbour Bridge, I'm so nervous as well. I keep focus, calm down, I'm talking to myself. Calm down, everybody calm down, just focus. Stay in your own lane, go straight, okay? So, actually, he's not trying by himself. He's training by listening to me. So, in our life, our heart is so deceitful. So often we'll be trying to please men. But don't worry, you are not alone. We have a trainer. All we have to do is always carry this. Okay? Learner. Throughout our life, Holy Spirit is teaching us. For later on, if we pray in the breaking of bread meeting, after the prayer, it's like, oh, I'm good. That prayer is good. Oh. Don't worry, the Holy Spirit will remind you. Are you showing off? Are you seeking man's glory? Are you seeking man's approval? The Holy Spirit will correct you. Don't worry. Just be aware that He is inside you and will correct you. So don't be afraid of making mistakes. Don't be afraid of obstacles. With the trainer, if there's a goal there and the trainer beside us, we can overcome the obstacles. Not by our might, but by the help of the Holy Spirit. So it's not impossible to live a life to please Him if this is your goal. Be a learner, willing to learn, willing to listen to the Holy Spirit inside. He will correct you. He will guide us. He will help us to live a life to please our Lord. And this is what I want to share today. Shall we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you that you love us and you set us free. We pray that knowing that you love us, we pray that we have only one goal in our lives, that is to please you. We know our hearts are so deceitful, but we pray that you give us a simple heart. Correct us, Lord, in every day of our life, we need your correction and help so that we'll walk in righteousness, walk in a simple heart, walk in love just to please you. We thank you that you're so willing to guide us. We pray that you open our ears so that we can listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Help us, Lord, to please you. This is our prayer to you. In Jesus' name, Amen.